Good evening and welcome to WDIY and the program On Every Main Street. This program takes a deeper look into the greater Lehigh Valley Chamber of Commerce and all of its affiliates. Tonight, I'm pleased to welcome Adrian Shanker, founder and executive director of the Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center, serving the Lehigh Valley. Adrian, happy holidays to you.
So great to be here with you.
Terrific. I know Bradbury Sullivan is a well-known commodity in our area, but just for people who might be new to the area, give us a little history, please.
Yeah, Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center provides arts, health, youth, and pride programs, as well as supportive services and advocacy to celebrate and support the LGBT population across the Lehigh Valley. We started in 2014 with a vision to really revolutionize the programs and services available to our local LGBT community. We opened our building in 2016, and today we're a team of just over a dozen employees that work hard every day to advance progress and provide the support that our LGBT community needs.
So we're in the middle of this pandemic, if you will. It won't last forever, as most things go. But how has this affected Bradbury Sullivan?
Well, I mean, first off, this is a very dangerous virus, and we're living through scary times. But, you know, for LGBT people, you know, we know that this is not our first virus, and our community does know something about how to survive a plague. And one of the things that LGBT people have learned throughout our cultural history is the importance of listening to and heeding public health information. So the LGBT community has been really supportive overall as a population of the public health professionals and healthcare workers who are doing tremendous work to save Pennsylvanians' lives every day. And we're grateful for them, especially our Secretary of Health, Dr. Rachel Levine. But, you know, for our organization, like most other nonprofits, COVID-19 has presented unprecedented challenges to us. We closed our physical location temporarily, and we've transitioned all programs to virtual formats. Today, we've actually reopened our fine art galleries with a pop-up location in downtown Allentown in a more COVID-safe retail-level environment where we can ensure, you know, better safety precautions in that space than in the building we own. But for the most part, all of our programs are virtual, and we've been working hard to ensure that we're continuing to meet community needs throughout this pandemic.
Now, you do have two shows going on right now, don't you?
We do. In our fine art galleries, we have Mask Femme, which is a series of paintings and prints by Joe DeLude II, who's one of Broadway's top makeup artists. He does the makeup for Wicked and 16 other shows. And these were all paintings that he did since COVID started, actually, because Broadway's been closed. And they're paintings of drag performers that exhibit a mix of masculinity and femininity. And the artist says that he painted them in this way because there's beauty in both masculinity and femininity. We're also doing a pop-up within a pop-up of our short wig exhibit. It's a wig exhibit featuring wigs by Will Dowdy, who is a wig designer who's made wigs for some of the RuPaul Drag Race performers. And that's a short exhibit just for a couple weeks to give some extra, you know, some extra fun during the holiday season. We are limiting the number of guests in the gallery to no more than five at a time. We keep the doors open whenever we're there, and masks are obviously required. And we do take, you know, COVID precautions incredibly seriously. But for people for whom it's either not safe or they don't feel safe coming in person, we do have an option for people to view the gallery virtually, and they can access that through our website at BradburySullivanCenter.org.
If you want to learn anything more about the exhibitions, just go to the Bradbury Sullivan website. It looks really interesting. Do you have to make an appointment to go to the show?
You don't need an appointment. We're open Tuesdays through Fridays from 11 to 6. You know, we're just limiting the number of attendees at a time, number of visitors at a time. It hasn't been an issue so far, so we certainly welcome and invite the community to come and experience art and culture with us and celebrate the LGBT community's history and tradition of art and culture. And we'll do our best to maintain a COVID-safe environment, you know, for all of our guests.
Like you said earlier, this is not your first virus as a community. Speak to the non-LGBT community, please, and give us some advice.
Well, I think that, you know, first off, I'm 33, so I didn't personally really live through experiencing the HIV/AIDS pandemic the way that people older than me would have. But as a community, as a population, LGBT people learned from the activists who come before us. And some of what we've learned for this virus from the activists from, you know, the last one, is that public health information is essential to listen to, and also that we have to speak up and demand equity, health equity for our community, that if we don't fight for it, other people might not fight for it for us. There's some vast differences between HIV and COVID-19. You know, in the early days of HIV, President Reagan didn't say the word AIDS until after thousands of people had died. And so there are some very stark differences, but there's also some lessons learned. And I think that's really one of the things that we've been focused on. We've also been focused as a community center of ensuring that during a time of physical distancing and social isolation for some of us, that we're maintaining virtual programs that allow people to connect with their community from home. And so we produce Lehigh Valley Pride virtually. We've had a number of virtual programs every month that provide opportunities. And these are from reading groups to support groups to live book talks that happen on our Facebook Live or YouTube Live channels. And, you know, we're able to ensure community connectivity during this lonely period for some people, because we want to make sure that people still feel that the community is here for them. You know, at the end of the day, all we have is each other. And that's what a community center does, is to bring community members together. And that's what we've been doing during this time as well.
It is a lonely time for any LGBTQ people who may be feeling lonely. How can they find a connection? What can they do?
We offer 15 monthly supportive services for adults. And we also offer daily LGBT youth programs for youth 14 to 21. So for youth, it's a youth-driven program, but all of the content is provided virtually right now. Our youth are connecting through group video games to discussion groups, mm-hmm. and other methods. For adults, we have support groups, we have reading groups, we even have our free legal clinic virtually. So there's plenty of opportunity to connect, and we invite our community to reach out to us through our website, BradburySullivanCenter.org, where all of these programs are listed. For people who are feeling very alone or isolated during this time, creating community through virtual means can be very powerful, and it's a form of resiliency. And that's why we're offering this to our community. I just want to say one other thing, though, about that, which is that Brecht said, "In the dark times, will there be singing?" Yes, there will be singing about the dark times. So some of the virtual cultural programs that we're providing right now provide that outlet for people to engage with the art and culture that's being made in our times that we're living through today. Our virtual reading groups, for example, we have a queer poetry reading group and a queer memoir reading group that both meet monthly and provide an opportunity for our community to engage with newly released LGBT literature, but also to really talk about it and talk about how they're living through this moment and how what they're reading really relates to their lives today. So, you know, we're an organization that tries to be very current in our programming and to provide cutting-edge, leading-edge programming for our community. And that's what we're doing. We know how our community is feeling right now because we're feeling it too. But we know that through art and culture, as well as direct supportive services, we can make a difference in the lives of many people in our community today.
For people in the Lehigh Valley who have friends who are in the LGBT community, what might they not be thinking about, and how can they help people get through this difficult time?
So aside for some of our support groups and our youth program, you know, our cultural programs are open to anyone in the community. You don't have to be an LGBT person to come to, say, one of our reading groups or to visit one of our live book talks or anything along those lines. But for people who might want to be supportive of LGBT community members, there's a couple ways. So first, you know, remember that for a lot of LGBT younger people who are normally living elsewhere on a college campus, for example, this time period is extra challenging because currently a lot of LGBT college students are living at home with families who might not be supportive of who they are. It's important to just remember that and to try to find ways to support LGBT youth and all LGBT community members. But LGBT youth are among the most vulnerable members of our community, and they really do need support at this time. For people who are in a position to donate, there's always opportunities for that, but it's not only donations. It's also, if you're a business owner, simple messages of love and support to your LGBT customers and employees is helpful. You know, there's lots of opportunities during this season at the end of the year when a lot of people are thinking about community to really ensure that thinking about community means all of us.
So this is the end of the year. If somebody is looking at their tax situation and saying, I want to support my friends, I've got a little bit extra to share to add to my tax deductions, how do they make a donation to Bradbury Sullivan?
They should give some of it to WDIY first, because public radio is important for all of us. But then, it is important to think about, in addition to supporting our public media, it's important to think about the causes that are making really important transformational changes in the Lehigh Valley. And Bradbury Sullivan LGBT Community Center is proud to be one of those organizations. We never tell people to donate to us because it's tax deductible. Like, we think funding schools and roads and bridges are important also. But it is a tax-deductible donation most of the
sure.
time. And this year, actually, the federal government provided a one-time opportunity for an additional $300 to be tax-deductible
yep.
in addition to standard deduction. So for folks who haven't donated $300 to any charity yet this year, it's an opportunity just to keep in the back of your mind. And Bradbury Sullivan Center is proud to provide the programs we do for our community, but we only do it because of donors like you. And so this is about the community coming together to really people power our movement for LGBT inclusion and equity and art and culture and health and healing and support for our youth. This is what we're able to do with the support of so many donors in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. And we're grateful for every donor. We like to say that every donor and every dollar makes a difference for our community, and we really do mean that.
When you're searching, search Bradbury Sullivan if you haven't, and go to their website.
BradburySullivanCenter.org.
Right. It's an outstanding website. It would make you proud, if you haven't seen it, to know what's going on in this community, for everybody to get involved in the LGBTQ festivities, programming, and help for this community. We have a lot to be proud of, and for the work that you're doing, Adrian, and your crew. The straight community, what do they say, straight but not narrow?
Sure, yeah. And, many of our supporters are not LGBT identified, but many donors to Bradbury Sullivan Center are parents of LGBT youth or older youth who are now adults. Or they're people who just believe that the Lehigh Valley should be a place where all of us are treated equitably in our society. So we just want to invite everyone in our community who shares our values that LGBT people deserve an equitable society to consider giving at this time.
Thank you very much, Adrian. Coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to have a discussion that does a deeper dive into a health study that Bradbury Sullivan was a part of, and you'll find it very interesting. Once again, Adrian, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
And happy holidays to everybody at Bradbury Sullivan. You are listening to On Every Main Street on WDIY.
Connect with WDIY with our new app. Download for free from the Apple or Google Store and enjoy the great music, news, and programs you love on the go. The easy-to-use app is where you can listen to WDIY live or your favorite music shows on demand anytime with our two-week archive feature. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to many choices, real voices.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to On Every Main Street. Next, I would like to say hello to Norma Nunez-Rue, the Educational Director of El Sistema, of the Lehigh Valley. El Sistema is the free education program made possible through the Allentown Symphony Association's collaboration with the Allentown School District. Did I get that right, Norma?
Yep.
All right. Give us a little history about El Sistema.
So El Sistema actually started back in my home country. I'm originally from Venezuela.
Uh-huh.
I moved to the Lehigh Valley 5 years ago. And the program started under the Venezuelan government back in the 70s. It actually celebrated its 46th anniversary this year back in Venezuela. And since its inception, it has served over a million students, over a million kids in Venezuela alone. And
really?
It has a standard to internationally and abroad, not only in Europe, in Asia, but also in Africa, South America. And in the last 5 to 6 years, it has expanded exponentially in the United States. It began to be emulated in the United States after Jose Antonio Abreu, Maestro Abreu, who's the founder of the program, was awarded with the TED Prize. And all the amount, all of the money of related to the award that he received, he actually donated to start the expansion or the inception of El Sistema as a program in the United States. And that's how, in conjunction with the New England Conservatory, started a fellowship called the Abreu Fellows. And mm-hmm. It was a program that had local and national leaders with an inclination for social action through music, and it trained them in the philosophy of free and global education, music education as a transformational tool, and all of that, all of those values that are the core of what we do back in Venezuela. So part of that cohort actually traveled to Venezuela. They lived there for about 3 months. That's how I got connected with the whole initiative of El Sistema in the United States. And then a few years later, here I am as part of the Allentown Symphony Association, an organization that received me with warm and open arms, an organization that 10 years ago saw the value of an initiative like El Sistema and decided, you know what, we're going to implement this in Allentown for everyone in the Lehigh Valley. And this year we're actually celebrating our 10th anniversary.
Well, happy anniversary.
And, yes, it's our 10th anniversary this season, actually, between 2020 and 2021. And in spite of COVID, we're trying to do the best that we can, and we're trying to keep bringing all of the joy and hard work, discipline, and ensemble rehearsals to our students, even online.
Can you produce music online?
We can. We've been actually learning. We have an amazing staff of teaching artists and a program manager. Kaylee Santanello, who leads the day-to-day operations of the program, and our team of teaching artists, have, along with myself, we have come with this alternative via Zoom. One of the aspects of the program itself is that it's very intensive, it's very immersive. It actually, on the regular day-to-day, pre-COVID, it's a program that happens 5 days a week,
mm-hmm.
2 hours per day, Monday to Friday, 3:30 to 5:30, the kids have to be there. So the time commitment is very, very hefty, and it's very intense, and that's one of the secrets why it worked. When in March we got hit with COVID, we decided, okay, how can we continue this intensive, immersive program, make sure that we are still there for all of our students. So with some tweaking and a lot of learning on Zoom,
mm-hmm.
we're actually still offering 5 days a week, 2 hours per day instruction with a focus a little bit more towards the individual and then the ensemble. But we're still seeing all of our students every day for 2 hours, every day.
Terrific. So if you're a parent and you think your student would like to learn more about music, how do people get in touch with you?
Well, they can go to our website, millersymphonyhall.org, and go to the tab of education. And under education, they will find the myriad of programs, all of our fabric of programs that we offer for community outreach, but also El Sistema. They can contact us directly via the email of our program manager, Kaylee Santanello. That is ksantanello@allentownsymphony.org. Or contact myself at nnunezruch, that is nnunezruch, at allentownsymphony.org.
At what age can a person join El Sistema?
We are, as of right now, we're K-12. So anyone enrolled in the school years, we can enroll and can join us. We work with the calendar, with the school district calendar. And we are guided by the school by the Allentown School District guidelines of programming school days and activities. So our enrollment happens in two bulks, one in the summer and one right after the summer ends to start to kick in September. And we're always receiving inquiries for new enrollments. We have a waiting list. The program, again, is free of charge. It's tuition-free. We also offer not only the instruction hours and all of the materials, but also the instruments for free. We provide them. And anyone that is interested just need to be mindful of the time commitment and just want to learn string instruments. As of right now, we're operating exclusively with strings and choir vocal training. Hopefully in the next decade, we're going to expand it to a full orchestra. But that's basically it.
This is such a great program. What are you most proud of when you reflect on El Sistema?
That's an amazing and yet difficult question. I think I'm really proud of the family that we have built together. It's not a team. It's not merely a team. It's actually a family. And it's a family that involves, it's a huge community. One that involves the leadership of the Allentown Symphony Association embodied by Diane Wheatley, our artistic conductor, and Al Jacobson, our executive director. Our team of teaching artists are a solid and the foundational part of that community. Dan, Margaret, Amanda, and Charlotte are our extraordinary team and staff that work daily with the kids. The fact that the kids understand and are willing to commit that amount of time by themselves, even at the very, very early stages, it's something that I'm really proud of. And that all of that happens in that environment of nurture and fun and sometimes challenges, because music is not an easy undertaking. It's not an easy enterprise too.
It's a different language.
Especially for students, correct. It's a full new language, and they embrace it so wonderfully. We're also extremely proud of all of our graduates and all of our alumni that often come back and you know, chipped in with our students. So I think it's that, how naturally and easy it was for me as a newcomer, not only to the organization, but also the city, the community itself, the country, to establish such a strong family in here.
Can you please speak to the value of teaching a young person music? What are the added benefits? Let's say they're good at the clarinet, but want to be an engineer.
That is very interesting. I am actually not a musician. You know that. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Actually, my bachelor degree is on international affairs, because I wanted to be, you know, in the UN and this diplomat. And I also have a master's on cultural development and engagement. I'm really not a musician by training. And I think that speaks volumes of what the philosophy is, because ultimately the skills that learning an instrument and involve yourself in something as challenging, intense, and rewarding as music, it allows you to become a more disciplined, focused, invested individual. And it's something that it doesn't happen on a silo. The motto of the program is, we are an orchestra, and in the orchestra we do everything together. As a student of music, you are surrounded by the people that support you and all of that network that is behind you, and name it, your parents, family, immediate neighbors. That's a huge value. That's the huge value of it. Correct. It doesn't happen on a silo. It happens in a large, impactful environment in which it's not only about you, it's about the other members of the orchestra. It's about the person that you are sitting next to making music with, but at the same time, the conductor that you're following every time that they give you an instruction. It's about making something together and making it beautifully together. It's about facing those challenges of achieving that beauty together too. So it's definitely a very important and relevant introduction to how working with others and for others, it's a huge benefit for us, not only as individuals, but also as humans ourselves.
What might one of your alumni say to one of the students today when they come back to visit?
They might say, it's easier on you now. Miss Norma is now easier on you now. Miss Norma is going to be easier on you. That's one of the things that they might say. I hope that they say that it's worth it too. And I know that some of them does. And they also said that it doesn't matter how difficult it can get, it always resolves itself and it's worth it.
If somebody would like to make a contribution to El Sistema, how do they do it?
MillerSymphonyHall.org. All of our contact information from our developing team and donations are in there. I think that's probably the easiest one. If not, they can contact us directly at Miller Symphony Hall. We're located on 23rd North 6th Street in Allentown.
Go to MillerSymphonyHall.org, click on Education and Community, and look for El Sistema on the dropdown and click there. You can learn more about El Sistema and all the terrific things that the group does. And I was not aware that this was a worldwide organization that the Lehigh Valley was lucky enough to become a part of. It's really an interesting thought. And the system is a community, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's a worldwide community. And it's an amazing community because it doesn't really matter which corner in the world you are. You can say El Sistema and someone else will know immediately what you're talking about. So it's fantastic. It's a very supportive one too.
Norma, it's been a pleasure to have you on Every Main Street. I'd like to wish you happy holidays to you and all of your cohorts at Allentown Symphony and at El Sistema.
Thank you so much. It was an honor and my pleasure.
You are listening to On Every Main Street on WDIY. Have a great evening.
Up next on WDIY 88.1 FM, news headlines from NPR, followed by our Monday night folk program, Folk Classics.